Good morning, girls and boys.
Good morning.
It's lovely to be back again with you. Although we do have a vacant chair, since one has finished schooling and gone off to employment. But we do have two new ones, and I have to give them a very warm and special welcome today. Phoebe and Katie, isn't it nice to see them? I think I've seen them somewhere before, but now we're seeing them in this context, in the classroom. How quickly time passes, but we'll not go into that. I want you to turn in your Bible to the book of John's Gospel. John's Gospel, and it's the chapter 17 I want you to turn to. I'm only going to be here once a week. No cheering, please. Once a week. I used to be here twice a week, but that's been cut back by me to once a week. And we're starting a new series of studies now that we've begun a new school year. And it's going to be centered upon this chapter in John's Gospel. And I have entitled it, basically, Our Great High Priest at Prayer for Us. Or a subtitle, as it were, What Our Savior is Doing Right Now. Do you ever think of that? Do you ever think of what is the Lord doing now? Because let me tell you, right now, He's thinking of what you're doing. Indeed, He never stops thinking about what you're doing. He never stops looking at you, watching over you. So it would be very proper, would it not, for us to give a little thought at least to what it is He's doing right now. And as a text, we're going to use the words that we find at the very beginning of the Gospel of John, the chapter 17. Let me read them to you. Have you got it there? 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father. Now, there's a lot to be found just in those few words. But let's notice how they are set before us. We're thinking then about what it is the Lord is doing right now. Well, the first thing I want you to think about, it's not the main theme of our study, but let me just say this, that at this very moment, the Lord Jesus is helping, caring, protecting, and guiding each one of you. Each one of you. You might not be conscious. You might not realize it. Maybe never thought about it. But let me press this upon you. If you are saved, if you're a Christian, the Lord's hand is ever upon you. His eye is ever upon you. His heart, his affection is ever upon you. That's important. There's a lovely verse in Hebrews chapter 13, it's the verse 5, and it says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Now, at the end of school, we all divide up, go our separate ways. But if you're saved, the Lord goes with your friends, and he also goes with you. Now you have to wave bye-bye to your friends because you can't go with them and go home at the same time. But the Lord can be with them and with you. And he never leaves nor forsakes his people. Now here at the beginning of this 17th chapter, the Lord Jesus is doing something that is extra special. In chapter 14, and I'm trying to give a bit of an introduction to our study, but in chapter 14, at the beginning of it, there's very famous words, very well known. Verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. The word prepare there means make ready. So the Savior has gone up to heaven to make ready a place for his people. So he's doing that as well as watching over you, guiding you, leading you, keeping his hand upon you. He's doing that as well. Oh, the Lord can do many things all at the one time. We can't. We can't. It used to be a favorite trick of people to get one hand to do one thing and another hand to do another thing. Where you'd rub your tummy. I see you all do it. No, you're not doing it. You're rubbing your head round and round, not patting your head up and down and rubbing your tummy. Now, this is a daft exercise to be found in the morning assembly. But it's very difficult to do that. Get one hand to do one thing and the other hand to do another thing. But the Lord can do many things all at the one time without the slightest difficulty at all. And here he is, as well as looking after us, even now, and watching over you, he's preparing a place in heaven for his people. But boys and girls, and here we come to the main theme of our study, he's doing something else. He's doing something else. Here are two quotes that tell us what it is he is doing at the moment. Hebrews chapter 7, the verse 25, he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Intercession. What does that mean? The word means prayer, basically. He is interceding for his people. And it says, he ever liveth to make intercession for his people. Then, in 1 John chapter 2 and the verse 1, we read, my little children, we have an advocate. An advocate is a lawyer, one who pleads your case before a judge. And the Lord Jesus is doing that. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's before the Father and he's pleading your case. When you do wrong, the Savior is pleading with his Father for you. Just remember that. He is our heavenly lawyer then, praying, pleading, interceding for us at this very moment. And that's the subject I want us to give some consideration to, based on what we read here in the 17th chapter of John. Now, this chapter contains the words of the Savior's prayer for his people. We all talk about, and the world generally talks about, the Lord's Prayer. It begins, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We know that prayer, I'm sure. And we call it the Lord's Prayer. But in actual fact, that's not altogether a good title for it. Because the Lord doesn't pray that prayer. But rather, he gave to his people this form of words that they might pray according to it. He had been asked by his disciples, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Oh, boys and girls, we do not know very much about praying. Do you know that? As a minister, over the many years I have been preaching, I have often at the end of a meeting had someone come to me saying, I want to be saved. And I open the Bible and show to them what the teaching of the gospel is about being saved. And very often, they don't know how to pray. And I have to give them words which they can use as they call upon the name of the Lord that he might save them. Oh, we don't know much about praying. There's many people that attend prayer meetings and never pray. At least audibly. I don't say that they would not be sitting there and silently praying. But there's a nervousness about openly praying. We don't know much about praying. And that's why the disciples, even the disciples, Peter, John, James, all those men who became great teachers in the cause of the gospel, those men had earlier on said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And the Lord had given them what is called the Lord's Prayer. He says, here's what you should do when you pray. Here's the sort of words you should use. But, as I say, it's not really the Lord's Prayer. He doesn't pray that prayer. In the Lord's Prayer, there's an asking for forgiveness of sins. The Lord Jesus doesn't have to ask that. He was sinless. But here in John 17, we have the Lord praying. He's praying for his people. He's asking his Father for his blessing upon his people. Now, in the opening words of this chapter, you have the setting. And maybe we'll come to this later, the next time I'm with you. But you will see, and I'm going to emphasize what I've often emphasized here in the assembly. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven. Now, why was he prompted to pray? What, as it were, brought on this desire to begin to pray? Well, always remember, look at what comes before. And I say, we'll leave that consideration to another time. But let me just give you that little hint, that little word of instruction. Always look, when you're reading your Bible and you come on a portion and you're wondering, now, why is this? Look at the surrounding events. Look at what takes place at the same time. And you might find there why that which you're reading about takes place. And why the Savior prays here as he does in John 17 is suggested to us in the verses that come before, just the tail end of chapter 16. Now, you older ones going to Sunday school here, or any of our churches, will in Sunday school be taught the Shorter Catechism. A lovely book, a wonderful book. If you learn the Shorter Catechism, not only to recite it, but learn what it means, you are the equal of any theologian around today. In fact, you would be far in advance of many who would claim to be theologians and doctors of divinity. If you understand the Shorter Catechism and know its meaning. Well, in the Shorter Catechism, the question 23 says this: what offices does Christ execute as our Redeemer? And the answer, I can see some of you just quivering to give the answer, since you've already studied the Shorter Catechism. The answer is, Christ, as our Redeemer, executeth the office of a prophet, a priest, and a king, both in his estate of humiliation and exaltation. Now, those two statements, the question and the answer, just are crying out to me, to enlarge upon them, but I can't take the time to do that. Let me just explain for a moment what it means by offices. Now, when we think of an office, you think of a room that usually says on the front, private, don't enter. It's a place where the principal does all the work in preparing the school. That's what we think of as an office. But the word carries another meaning. A policeman holds an office. The teachers here hold an office. It means they have an occupation. They have a job. And when we read here about the offices of the Lord Jesus, it means the occupations that he fulfilled. As our Savior, he was a prophet to teach us, a priest to sacrifice for us and take away our sins, and to pray for us, and a king. Well, as a king, he leads us, he guides us, he rules over us, he protects us. These are the offices of the Lord Jesus. We're going to look at the office of a priest. For as a priest, the Lord Jesus prays for his people. He intercedes for his people. That's what he's doing right now. Right now. If you think of the Lord Jesus, what is it? He's praying, and he's praying for you, if you're saved. He's praying for you. Oh, think on that. Now, a person who prays for someone is concerned about them, has a desire to see them blessed of God, and that's how it is with the Lord Jesus. He desires to see you blessed of the Lord. And we're going to concentrate in our studies about the Savior praying. And we're going to use what we read in John 17 as a guide, as a source of information and teaching. And I hope, boys and girls, as we study the words of John 17, we will, as it were, hear the Lord praying for us. If you're saved, he's only praying for those who are saved. Are you saved this morning? Are you saved this morning? Have you trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Oh, that's everything. That's everything. Let's just bow together now in prayer, please. O God, our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the one who is now at your right hand, praying for us here. And in his name and by virtue of his wondrous sacrifice at Calvary, we stand before thee and ask thee to bless the school and bless these few poor words of instruction spoken to the boys and girls today. May they register, O God, like seed scattered on the ground, may some take root and grow in the hearts and minds of the youngsters here. For Jesus' sake, amen. Amen.